This chapter is talking about prayer. Prayer that prepares. We'll get to that in just a minute. Matthew chapter number 6. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. So he's talking about giving, and you can't give unless you can pray. And you can't pray unless you don't have an alms. So you got to get all that fixed up before God's going to accept you giving. Now watch in verse 5. And in conjunction with your giving, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter, here's our text verse, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Then he gives us the pattern of prayer. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, connected to giving and praying, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say unto you that they have the reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not, connected to everything else, lay not, what is your prize? Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We're going to pull out of the message right there and let's pray. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the truth of the Word of God. We pray, God, that you'd help us to preach and illuminate our eyes and our mind, our hearts and our souls. May we receive, God, that you'd have us to receive. Father, we need you more than we need anything on this earth. We trust and pray and plead the blood that you'd anoint our minds. Give us, Lord, what we need today to be nourished in our spirit, our soul, our inward man may find what we need. You said bodily exercise profit little, but godliness profitable unto all things. Help us, Lord, to gain what we need, Lord, and do our best to work out the salvation that you've already worked in. Help us, Lord, to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling to God, which is in Christ Jesus. Help us, Lord, to do our best to shine as we should shine in this world. Help us, Lord, to lead others to you by word and by lips and by life. Help us, Lord, to be an example of the believer. Help us, Lord, to exalt you and not bring a bad reproach upon you or your name. Help us to preach in power. Give us liberty to preach. God, forgive us where we fail you. Cleanse us. And may we, as the pastor, be a vessel fit and meet for the master's use. Deliver the truth. Let our life be a conduit, our mouth be a conduit, that you'd preach from the pulpit of glory to every heart this year. May our hearts be receptive. In the same spirit, Lord, that you preach through me, Lord, I pray would find a nestling place and sow that seed where it needs to be and locate it where it needs to be located. And let it bring forth fruit and accomplish what you sent it to do. And we'll thank you and give you glory for all things that are accomplished. And we trust you. Save the lost, touch the saints. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. If the Lord would help me just for a little while today, I want to preach on highway robbery. Highway robbery. In our text today, we look, if we could deal with all that we've already read, we might could be out by next Sunday. But we're going to look just for a little bit at our text verse and verse 6, and then at our text verse in verse 19 and verse 20 and 21. I'm thinking and interested in this path and the message because I feel like if we can get our prayer right and get our path sure, everything else will fall in place. We are in a day when if we would all just be honest and take a survey, and I'm not going to do it to embarrass anybody, if we could take a survey just for a moment this morning by way of introduction and say, I'd like for a show of hands for people who have prayed just 1 hour. He said, can you not watch them pray just for 1 hour? 60 minutes, could you not watch and pray for 1 hour? I don't know how many people would lift their hand, but I do know prayer is an absolute necessity. We cannot put on the armor of God without the prayer closet. Bible said, above all things, beyond everything else, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. How you do that? Praying always with all prayer and supplication. God said if you're going to keep yourself in the Spirit, you got to walk in the Spirit and you got to pray in the Spirit. How do we keep ourselves in that love of God? We got to pray in the Holy Ghost. So how in the world do we think we can make it in this life? On the path that God has planned for us. If we have the wrong prize in view, and that's the end goal, and we don't have the right prayer to start us on the right path. So I want you to look with me, if you will, in Matthew chapter 6. Going to look at just a few things for a moment. I want you to look with me, first of all, at the prayer. God has gave us the pattern of prayer, the model of prayer. It is the prayer that all of the people of God, he instructs us on how to pray, tells us how to enter into that throne room of grace. But notice the key, I feel like, is in verse number 6. He tells about giving, and giving can't be real giving until our prayer is real praying. And then he says, but when thou prayest, he tells you what not to do, and then he tells you what to do. Look at verse number 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. So there's a period of time when thou prayest. And I know we can pray going down the road. I know we can pray over a meal sitting at a table with a bunch of people. I know we can pray while even taking a test or before we take the test. We can pray while we're doing our daily tasks. But when thou prayest, the when, the time, there has to be a time when God's children say no to everything else and pray. That's what fasting's all about. The fuel of prayer is faith. And the fuel of faith is fasting. And when you fast, it fuels your faith because you're saying no to flesh and yes to the spirit man. Because flesh will rule and reign in everybody's life. As long as flesh dictates all that we do, we're always going to fatten the flesh and the faith man is going to be weak. So fasting fuels your faith. Faith fuels your prayer because a double-minded man can't pray about anything. He's unstable in all his ways. Did we not preach that not long ago? He said, when thou prayest, when you've set aside everything, all the distractions, when you set aside all the disappointments, when thou prayest, do you have a time of prayer? But then he said, there's not just a period of time, there is a place. He said, when you pray, enter into thy closet. Don't worry about that crowd that's always praying in public and they ain't got no power to it. If there's no private prayer, there'll be no power in your public prayer. He said, when you pray, don't pray to be heard, don't pray to be seen. It's all right to pray and somebody hears you. It's all right to pray and somebody sees you. It'll probably gain conviction on their heart. But he said, when you really pray, when you want me to hear, nobody has to hear. When you don't worry about who sees, that's when I see. I remember thinking, man, we need to get a place of prayer. It's talking about having a place. Now, your place may not be a literal closet, but you ought to have a time, you ought to have a period, and you ought to have a closet of prayer. You say, preacher, I go pray. I had a preacher friend of mine. He'd always pray in bathrooms. It didn't matter where he was in all the world, and he is preaching, he'd find a bathroom somewhere because it was in the bathroom that God saved him. It was in the bathroom that God had answered prayer, and so he just felt like he'd go to a bathroom. Man, when you get in there praying, hey, man, it seemed like God just light the walls up. He'd say, well, it's got to be a place. Maybe it's a pine thicket. Maybe it's a rock altar. Maybe it's a broom closet. Maybe it's your living room couch. There's this little section on your couch where you feel like, man, if I could just get to my prayer place. I'm thinking about a lady, old grandma's, true story. Everybody would come visit, and she'd say, okay, now I'm going to have to go spend some time with God in prayer. Y'all welcome to stay. Snacks is in the kitchen. Get you some drinks in the kitchen. You're welcome to go outside, stay inside. But me and God's got a special time. We pray every day, and I've got a place. And when she got done, she pulled the couch out away from the wall, and they were two wore out places where she placed her knees and looked out the window toward heaven and asked God. I mean, a grandma had a place of prayer. Do your kids know that you've got a time at prayer and that you've got a place of prayer? My God, how we need to get a hold of God and God get a hold of us. We'll not walk the path and be the pilgrim we should be if we have the wrong prize, and we won't do it to begin with if you don't have the wrong prayer. Prayer is the platform that launches every ship in the right direction. Prayer is the platform whereby you run the race like you ought to run. Are you praying like you should? Do you have a period of time when you pray? Is there a place? He said, when thou prayest, when, enter into thy closet. Notice what he said. He said, shut the door. Got to be some privacy in your prayer. Nothing wrong with praying with people. Nothing wrong with praying with your wife. And nothing wrong with praying with your children. You ought to pray with your family. Thank God we can pray as a church. But there ought to be a time when ain't nobody but you and God in there. And God's speaking to you and you speaking to God. You're waiting on God, listening to God, telling God, pouring your heart out. Hey, man, if the only time you can pray is in public when somebody looking, you don't have no prayer life. There needs to be, for the believer, Jesus is preaching, and he's preaching calling nobody. Everybody's welcome, and he's telling us as believers, as gospel believers, there needs to be a privacy in our prayer. He said, shut the door. Pray to your Father which is in secret, and our Father which seeth in secret, amen, shall reward thee openly. So there is a period of time of prayer. There's a place of prayer. There's a privacy that ought to be in your prayer. But there's a partnership. There's a partnership in prayer. You're not, though you're in the closet, you ain't alone. You ever felt like, man, I can just feel like I can get through. If I can get a hold of somebody, man, they can pray with me about this thing. I feel like I can get some help. I know I can pray. I thank God I can pray. But preacher, I'm glad we have a partner that's never busy. Hey, man. He said when you enter in your closet, guess who's there? Your Father's there. Amen. There's a spiritual fellowship that you gain. Thy Father which seeth thee in secret will reward thee openly. He said, I'm with you. I'm praying for you. We got God in our corner. Amen. I guess the question to ask ourselves this morning is, what can I do to have real fellowship with God? What can I do to be a friend to God? I tell you what you can do. You can find that period of time, get in that place, shut the door and have privacy, and hook up with your partner who ain't never let you down. Amen. And show up for prayer time. In the model prayer, he said, give us this day our daily bread. We're getting things right with God every day. We're praying God's will be done every day. But we're praying our soul be fed every day. Listen, if you're not praying, you're not getting fed spiritually. You say, well, I read my Bible. Well, you can't understand this Bible. It's not fleshly interpreted. It's spiritually interpreted. Amen. There's no private interpretation. The same Spirit that illuminates anybody's mind illuminates your mind as a believer. Would y'all say amen? The four elements that are mentioned are, you could say it like this, are principles, are found in our text. Am I willing to commit myself to prayer time, to these principles? Do you desire to be in the presence of God? Because when you're in the presence of God and you're private and you got the door shut, ain't nobody else there. And amen, I want to have his presence. I want to enter into his presence. It is in the prayer closet that God dumps his power on your life. The greatest people who had the greatest power had a private time in prayer. Jesus has already demonstrated. He's going to demonstrate what he's preaching, and he's already demonstrated for us. We can look back and say, how did he stay faithful? Well, he's God, but he gave us a pattern to follow. The Bible said he would pull himself apart and pray. He would go and pray. He'd send them on the boat and he went to the mountain to pray. He'd pull apart and pray. And if we don't pull apart and pray every once in a while, we're going to fly apart. Somebody say amen. James 2 says, you lust and have not, you kill and have and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, but you have not. Why? Because you ask not. God said he wants us to pray. I want his presence. I want his power in my life. I need it. And we can't get it except by prayer. Let's be honest. Let's just be honest this morning. Do we really have time for God in prayer? Do you make time for God in prayer? Pray humbly for the deep Holy Ghost conviction to fall every time you walk through the doors that I can get some help. How much have you prayed for the service that God would fill your heart and give you what you need? How many times has your knees hit the floor and said, God, when it comes Sunday morning, I want you to give that preacher what I need to hear and feed everybody, but God, I'm desperate. I need your presence. I need your power. I need you to perfect some things in my life. God, would you help me? I need God to do something special. I mean, have you prayed for your kids? Have you prayed for your lost family? Do you wait till you get to church on Sunday before you mention them? Do you pray every day? Do you just think about this? If we feed our soul spiritually by spending time with God in his presence and the power of God gets on us, hey man, in prayer time with God and God illuminates his word, think about how much time you spend eating, how much time you spend praying. That's the connection when he talks about fasting. Spend some time with God in prayer. Somebody ought to say amen. Let's be honest, man. We need to pray. Would you all say amen? To honor and glorify God is to do his will. If you love him, keep his commandments. Jesus said when you pray, he said, I want you to find you a place. When you put aside that period of time in prayer, I want you to find a private place. I want you to find a praying place, and I want you to know I'm going to show up with you. I'm going to be there seeing what you're doing. I'm going to be there listening to what you're saying. And he said, when you spend that time with me, it will not be in vain. You're not wasting time, because when you spend time with me privately, I'm going to reward you openly. Everybody else won't see that time, but they'll see the evidence of that time. Amen, Lord. I don't know about y'all. Maybe you're not distracted. Maybe you're not busy. Maybe you're not dedicated to other things. But the Lord's trying to tell us. He's telling us in chapter number 6. And if we really want to get to that place, he's given us a pattern of prayer. Before he ever gives us a pattern, he tells us how we ought to pray, when we need to pray, why we need to pray. And then he's going to tell us it's going to be because if we don't watch it. The things that distract us, he lists in our last few text verses. We get our eyes focused on prizes of the world. And the prizes and the places of the world keep us from spending that time in that place in prayer for the things that would bring glory to God out of this world. September 1620. small ship sailed across called the Mayflower, left Plymouth, England, carrying 102 passengers. Every single one of them were classified as an assortment of religious separatists, a bunch of independent rascals, seeking a new home, wanting to get away from all the things being obstructing them from worshiping God like they should. They wanted a place they could worship God freely, practice their faith, serve God as the Bible tells them to serve God. Not have the state tell them how to pray and who to worship. So after a long, treacherous crossing that lasted 66 days, isn't that something? A day for every book of the Bible. They dropped anchor near the tip of Cape Cod. Got over there near Cape Cod, far north of where they intended to. The destination was they wanted right over there near the Hudson River. And the pilgrim's joy and relief of just seeing land at Cape Cod the morning of November the 9th on 1620. Recorded by an old Baptist believer named William Bradford, their leader. Here's what he said. Being thus arrived in a good harbor, brought safe to land. Now, you got to know, before they ever got in the boat, before they ever started on that path, before they ever landed at that place, there was prayer meeting that went on for weeks. When they was on board, they prayed. When the storms was raging, when they didn't think they was going to make it, they prayed through the storm. And now that they've arrived, here's what he said. Being thus arrived in a good harbor and brought safe to land, we fell upon our knees and blessed the God of heaven, who brought us over vast and furious ocean and delivered us from the perils and miseries thereof. And he said a whole bunch more. What blessed my heart is, he said, we fell upon our knees and blessed the God of heaven. You say, preacher, I know I need to pray. I need to find that period of time in prayer. I need to get to that little place in privacy. I need the power and presence of God. I need God. I need to realize God's my partner in this thing. Amen. He's leading me and guiding me. But I'm just going to be honest, preacher. I ain't got much to say when I get down. I tell you what you can start out saying. Hit your knees and bless the God of heaven. That's what you can do. You can just say, and ain't that what he said? Amen. He said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Just start out like that. Just bragging on God. Just thanking God. Appreciating God. Prizing God. Putting him up where he needs to be put up. And then thank him for your pardon. Thank God for saving my soul. Thank you for forgiving my sin. How could I hold anything against anybody else after you forgave me so much? Enter in that place of prayer. Say, God, I'm wanting your will to be done right here. I know it is in heaven, but Lord, I'm giving you authority. I'm giving you reign. I'm taking my hands off of it. Intervene in my situation. Make your will done. I don't care if I want it or not. Make thy will to be done on earth, in earth as it is in heaven. And God, I'm a longing for the day when your kingdom comes. I'm a looking for your kingdom to come, my king and his kingdom to come. Oh, thank you, Lord. Give us every day what we need. Give us our daily provision. I'm not wanting yesterday's bread. It's gone. I can't get tomorrow's bread. It ain't here yet. But what you need and have, want me to have, I want it today. I need today's bread today. Amen. I'm trusting. I'll be back tomorrow. I'll get tomorrow's bread tomorrow. But God, just today, give me bread that I need. Are y'all with me? And man, as that path begins to clear out, prizes of the world begin to pass away out of your view. Because you realize they ain't as precious as you thought they was. What's precious is that place. What precious is that power, the presence of God. That, amen, that private time with God. If you love somebody, you want private time with them. You like that time when you can just snuggle up to them and ain't nobody else around. You appreciate everybody, but boy, there's just something about that special time. God knows everything that we think, everything that we've done, how far we come short, and he still wants to meet with us in private. He has put up with us. He has dealt with us and sent mercy and grace our way and still knows all about us and still says, I want you to have time with me. I'm going to make time. Y'all know these people that love you and you deal with them and you love on them best you can. But you really, just because of things they've done, you ain't got time for them. And yet God's got time for us. And he knows everything that we've ever done, ever will do. What a God we serve. Brother, I'm telling you, the only way we can do it, we got to get our eyes on the right prize. We can't get our eyes on the path, can't be the pilgrim we need to be. We can't get our eyes, and can't have our eyes on the prize if we don't start out right in prayer. You see, they had a starting point, and we got a landing point. Watch what happens. He's wrapping these things up. He's going to tell us you can't serve two masters. You either hate the one or love the other, love the one, despise the other. But right after he gets done talking about prayer and after he gets talking about, he reminds us of the prize, what we're looking for, what we're headed for. Notice what he says. He said, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. See, right now we're on the highway of the holy. Right now we're on the highway of the king. Right now we're on the pathway of the pilgrim. Right now we're traveling. But there's treacherous, there's a lot of danger on this highway. There's a lot of pitfalls in this highway. We may encounter some things along this journey. But if we realize that what we may lose in this journey is nothing to be compared to what we're going to enjoy in glory, then we'll have our eyes on the right prize. He said, don't look on things on this earth. They're temporary. Lift your eyes to the hills. Look up. He mentions treasures of the court. He said, treasures upon where moth corrupts. Moth eat clothing. That's treasures of the court. Clothing and draperies and all the fancy things of this world. And if you don't watch it, then you'll get your eyes on the material possessions that you wear on this old fleshly body. Then he says these treasures of the camp. That's those flashy things. That's the swords. That's the material items. He said, man, I'm telling you, rust can corrupt them. All the fancy garments that we want hanging in the closet, all the things that we want to put on this old fleshly tabernacle, he said, moth can get in there and tear them things up. All these glittering things that the world has to offer, all the things that you want to stash in your camp, what they can do? He went and stashed it in his camp, in his tent, under his bed, and it cost him and his whole family. That's the treasures of the camp. Don't get your eyes on the treasures of the court, the treasures of the camp, and the treasures of the counting house. He said, listen, he said, thieves are going to break through and steal. You know who's the most nervous about having their house broke in? That's people's got something worth stealing. When you ain't got nothing, you ain't worried about it. Somebody ought to say amen. I know we all got something. We wouldn't lock our doors. Amen. I used to drive this old little Dodge Colt. I never locked it. I was hoping somebody'd steal it. Amen. Hey, man, it was a good car, and we had a fender that was different on the driver's side, and Michelle, we'd take a spray can and paint that fender every once in a while just to keep it blended in. Had to spray paint it. That old thing would fly, boy, we'd get that thing, and it had a low and high range, and get it over there in that last fourth gear, and then throw her down in high range, like we was driving a Porsche or something. We'd leave that thing unlocked, hoping somebody'd steal it. But I'll tell you what, if you're driving something nice, I'll guarantee you lock that thing up. Y'all might as well, y'all know I'm right. Ain't nothing wrong with taking care of it. And anything God's blessed you with, you ought to shout to victory. But that ain't the prize. Rust can eat the fenders out of the thing. Yeah, if you don't wash it, I'm telling, if you don't take care of it, if you don't change the oil in it, if you don't check the transmission, if you don't take care of the pressure in the tires, if you don't make sure everything's just right, just if you say, preacher, there ain't nothing wrong with this thing, ain't nothing going to happen, well, leave the windows down today. Somebody say amen, help me. Y'all know I'm right. Hey, I'm telling you, if you don't watch it, it's the treasures of the counting house that bother you. You see, these are merely treasures of this place. They're temporary. They're treasures of man-made power. There's treasures of what I call pelf or purse or money. The booty of the world, the change of the world. But the thieves can break through and the moths can corrupt it and the rust can decay it. But according to verse number 20, there's another place we can put our prize in. Lay not up for yourself treasures. Help on this earth, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Oh, yes, you know what the consolation for the believer is? The consolation for the Christian is this. The robbers can steal the glitter, but they can't have my gold. Not the real gold. That's what they pave streets with up yonder. Oh, they can get the glitter of the world, but they can't get the real gold. Amen. It's reserved, according to 1 Peter chapter 1. He's in the crowd. He's hearing what Jesus is preaching. He gets a hold of it and reminds us over in 1 Peter in chapter number 1. And he says, thank God we have an inheritance laid up for us. It's incorruptible. Amen. No moth gonna corrupt it. He said it's undefiled. Amen. No rust gonna defile it or fade it. He said reserved for you in heaven. Thank God no thief can get a hold of it. No thief can lay hands on it. Amen. The moth can't touch it. The robbers can't have it. The rust can't corrupt it. We have an incorruptible, undefiled, amen, reserved for us in heaven. Amen. There's a place where I'm putting it. It's in the future. It's my treasure's in heaven. That's the place that we need to be worried about. Amen. The power we need to desire to have is the power to live and persevere to the end with the right prize. How do we get it, preacher? By praying right. Are y'all with me? God, what we need to have, Brother Scott, there's robes of righteousness that moth cannot corrupt. That's what we're going to be wearing throughout eternity. There's swords of power in the presence and power of God. This sword, hey, can I just say, the rust can't get a hold of this. Amen. There's a shining reward that thieves don't know nothing about. Amen. So can I just, when he's writing, Peter's writing to scattered believers all over the world, brothers and sisters, he said, I just won't let you know. Y'all might be running for your life, Peter said. Let's remember what Jesus said in the past. Hey, don't get your eyes on the prize that's temporary. Don't look for places down here, a prize that's down here. There's a place, amen, called heaven, and that's where your reward is. That's where your power is. Amen, that's what you ought to have a passion for. That's what you ought to pry. Amen, don't let your heart be corrupted with temporary things. Set your affections on things above. Put your, amen, my treasure's in glory. My treasure's in heaven. That's what I'm looking for. It's undefiled. It fadeth not away. It's preserved for me in glory. Can I say amen? So here's the consolation. Thieves can't get a hold of my prize. Moth can't touch my prize. Rust will never corrupt my prize. Men, one man had his food stolen. I read about this man. He had his food stolen. He went to shout. He didn't have a lot of food. He went to shouting, Brother Larry. They thought he was crazy. They said, what are you shouting about? He said, whoa, I thank God I got an appetite. He said, some of my friends don't even have an appetite. I thank God for an appetite. Y'all listen to this preacher. We got a lot to thank God about. We might not have all the food we want, but I think, well, we do now, because after I went to Sam's, Dollar General, Walmart, they got the money and I got the food. But can I say thank God? God has blessed us. God has been good to us. And if you don't have nothing in this world, you ought to thank God for an appetite. Amen. There's some people laying over there dying and shriveling away, and they're shriveling away in the rest homes and the adult care because they don't even have an appetite. You have to force feed them, put a tube in them, and they're just withering away. Hey, thank God we got an appetite. Amen. There's always something to thank God about. Paul knew what it was. He said, I've been in perils. Matter of fact, let's just look over here right quick. I want y'all to know I'm not preaching out of an almanac. 1 Corinthians in chapter number 11, Let's just see Paul's testimony about it all. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse 23. Here's what the man of God says. He says, I have received of the Lord that which also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, same night in which he betrayed, took bread. Amen. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take heed, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. He said, that's the supper I'm looking for. Amen. Listen to what he says. He said, I have perils. He said, I have perils in my body. I had perils out of the body. I had perils on my travels. I had perils from the outside. I had perils from the inside. And he gave his testimony and told us all about it in chapter number 12 of the book of Corinthians. He said, I'm looking for that Lord's Supper. I'm enjoying that presence of God, that blood, that bread. He said, I've endured all kinds of affliction. I've had all kinds of hardship. But God's been good to me. And this is what Paul said. He said, the things that I've loved for, that'll never fade away. The things I long for will never fade away. Faith, hope, mercy, grace, the goodness of God, the power of God. He said, that'll sustain you when everybody leaves you, forsake you. He said, nevertheless, the Lord stood with me. Hey, church, here's what I'm saying. Well, you got a partner that'll never be absent. He'll never be AWOL. He'll never be distracted. He won't even get sleepy. You don't have to worry. Sleep in peace. He's got his eyes on you. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's taking care of you. No matter what happens, Brother Scott, we got to get our prayer right so we can be the right pilgrim on doing the right thing on the path and having the right prize and goal. That end goal prize. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Let's all stand all over the building. We have an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away.